Blog Talk Radio.
The Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Call in at 646-716-8652. And don't forget to push 1. Broadcasting from the southern plains of the greater Midwest in Kansas City, overlooking the beautiful Kaw River Valley in lovely Wyandotte County, Kansas, and occupied Osage Indian Territory. So greetings, ex-prisoners, partisans, communards, brigadiers, and lumpen proletariat. This is the Prison Abolitionist Hour podcast, celebrating 370 years of anti-capitalist thought through reasoning and rebellion.
All right, we're back. It's the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. May 14th, 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Randy Weaver is dead. He's with the worms, as they say, on Boot Hill. Well, we've got an exciting program tonight. And there was a women's march in Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, today. We made it to Kansas City, Missouri, and close to 800 people turned out. And it was a raucous event, and we're going to start with that. And so, Mike, if you want to, if you're there, how are you doing, Mike?
Okay, we got the file, your last minute files uploaded, and they're ready to go.
All right, 413, Mike, hit it.
Some days she doesn't get paid at all, but she feels powerless to do anything about it.
Dancing in a topless bar, chauffeur in a luxury car, rock star playing air guitar, fiction show in cigars, cashier in a shopping mall.
Thank you.
for coming out. Thank you so much for coming out. There's a lot going on today. I know graduations
really
are everywhere.
Loud.
They got
really loud.
Time going on. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But you made time to come here today, and we thank you for it. We thank you for it. When some dumb shit is happening. And right now, some of our folks here, come on, introduce yourself. My name's Justice, by the way.
My name is Envion Payne. I am a local organizer and spoken word artist in Kansas City. It is my pleasure to be here with you all today and leading this march. It's not just about what we can put on pages. It's what we can do in person. It's what we can get on petitions. It's what we can enact and stop and change and make a new law, right?
Hello, everyone. My name is Dion Gatson. I am the lead youth organizer of Real Justice Network, and I'm here to cuss people out.
My name is Ash Spears. I'm a core organizer with Real Justice Network, and I'm also a state campaign organizer with the Poor People's Campaign. We realize that this is not a race. It is a march. So we are collecting all of our people. We are showing up in mass. And we are showing them that we're going forward together, not one step back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Faith. I use she and they pronouns. I am a community organizer. I work with the Equal Trans Support Group and currently helping organize Kansas City Trans Pride event. It is my honor to be here to do good ally work to reproductive rights. Thank you.
So, before we turn up and cut up and act up, I want to give y'all some substance, okay? We got to do that first. There's something really important happening today. Not just these actions taking place all across the country. There are 200 of these taking place today.
Yeah.
And we're representing for Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Right. But I also want you to know that our neighbors in Kansas, they have an important action that's happening today. And for those of you who can go over there after this, we need you to. As a matter of fact, it is so important. If you left here early, I would not care. Honestly, it's about the work. What they are doing today is extremely important, okay? And so they're going to be throwing down until 6. And so if you can get over there after this, that is the work. That is the mandate. Like my daughter just said, she came out the cuff. We just coming out to get some energy off because we mad.
Yeah.
And we need to do that before we fuck somebody up. So, we're going to do that, but substance first, right? So, Emily from Planned Parenthood. Emily Wells, come on. CEO of Planned Parenthood, coming to grace our faith. Come on up here. Tell them what to do, what we need them to do, Emily.
Hey, everybody. I'm Emily Wales with Planned Parenthood. This is a beautiful sight. I will tell you, as someone who works in this movement, it can feel lonely and isolated, and our patients feel that way. And so it is lovely to see you all here. Okay, you heard it from Justice. I'm just going to jump right to it. In the 4 states that Planned Parenthood Great Plains serves, that is Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma, one state will have access when Roe is overturned, and that is Kansas. We have been living in a post-Roe reality in our 4 states for years, and you all have heard us say this, but Missouri was Texas before Texas was Texas. Missouri has put restrictions on your bodies and your choice and your medical care for years. And for many of those years, we could push back and fight back and rely on the courts to do something, but that is over. The courts are no longer the backstop. They are not protecting you. They are not protecting your children. And we have to take this back at the state level. When Roe is overturned, and that is coming, that is not the law today. You still have the constitutional rights you had 6 months ago, that you had 30 years ago, that you had 49 years ago, but they will not be intact by July. Roe is going to be overturned. We know it's coming, but if you need care in the state of Kansas, you will be more of a human being there than in all of our surrounding states. But that will not be true unless we fight for it. There is a move right now to remove a protection from the state's constitution. That's not how constitutions work. Little line of history here. We're not in the business of giving people rights and taking them away. But that is what's happening in Kansas. There's a move to remove those rights to abortion access in Kansas. So that's why we are now across the state organizing and talking to people about what this is. This is not regulation. This is not reasonable restrictions on healthcare. This is a move to ban abortion access and control your bodies and your futures. So if you can today, if you live in Kansas, vote no, vote no, vote no. If you don't live in Kansas, you know a Kansan. We're right here on the state line. Find a Kansan and tell them vote no, vote no, vote no. And also pick up the phone, go to KansansForFreedom.com. That's a coalition of organizations working to push back and protect your right to reproductive freedom. Join us today. You heard it from Justice. We are canvassing across the state. Hundreds of volunteers are going door to door to ask people to stand with them to protect this right to constitutional freedom. If you can go, if you can call, show up. We need you. We are at the Democratic Party headquarters in Overland Park. It's a lovely place, I'm sure. So come out if you can, but even if you can't, stay here. This is a good moment. Be here in this moment, but then join us tomorrow. Pick up the phone tomorrow and be with us in this fight. Because whatever happens, even if we lose access, when we lose access to abortion in our states, Planned Parenthood will be here. We're here today. We were here yesterday. We're going to be here tomorrow, and we're going to be fighting for every single person to make their decisions for themselves and their families. Thank you all so much. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, Emily. Thank you so much for the work that you do. Y'all, give Emily a round of applause. It's not a lot of us in this work and engaging in this work on the level that we are. Emily is one of them. Emily is a fighter. Support Emily. Support Planned Parenthood. Y'all, we don't have the kind of help y'all think we have. I'm here to tell y'all, if you are unclear about that. Even some of the folks that are supposed to be our friends in this moment aren't.
Yeah, right.
And I know.
And
so I'm going to be asking you to give your money to some specific places because these are the folks that I know are doing the work. Missouri Abortion Fund. Kansas Abortion Fund, Planned Parenthood, Real Justice Network. And we are going to continue to do the work. There are more. I will name them. You'll get to hear about them. We're going to have them out on social. It's important for us that you know who's supporting us. There are some folks who say they are with us and they are fighting us inside. Y'all don't know this. I'm privy to this shit. It's tough when you're fighting. When I came out here last year and I almost damn near laid on the ground and cried and told y'all I was gonna need your help, I was fighting with people who were supposed to be on our side. And so this fight is tough. Make sure you are
staying engaged with us, because we're going to tell you who's doing the work. We're going to point you to the right direction. There's nothing more important than today than going to Kansas. Fuck this march. I'm going to tell y'all how I feel. I'm going to keep it real. We need to protect what's going on in Kansas. So although we're here today, we don't riled up and everything because we need to. Goodness, we need to. Right?
Yeah.
But what's happening there is important. Yeah,
right.
So let's make sure we support it. Can't do it today. Pick up those phone lines tomorrow. There are going to be plenty of actions to follow that and this one.
Yeah.
Go ahead now and block off the 18th and the 19th if you can. It's Father's Day weekend. The daddies, they can sacrifice for us. We do so much for them. Bring them out. You'll hear more about that, but that is not to be missed, okay? The 18th and the 19th. If you can't do both, choose one day. I would say the 18th. You won't want to miss, okay?
So to the actual good cops out there, I salute y'all. Stand up, because this too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass.
Got my badge and my gun. Mother Nature's made a son. Trained to serve and to protect. And to break a nigga's neck. Need no family and no friends. Now and then a pig in Zen. Just my blood brothers in blue. Machine screw in the Bronx Zoo. Which side is you on, boy? Which side is you on? Which side is you on, boy? Which side is you on? Which side is you on, boy? Which side is you on? Which side is you on, boy? Which side is you on? Thin blue line between hate and faith. Take the word incarcerate. Put your hands up in the air. Say your prayer when sirens blare. My Jack Black don't take no flack. Put a bullet right in your back. Stand above the angry mob. Lord, I love to do my job. Which side is you on, boy? Which side is you on? Which side is you on, boy?
All right, we're back. The Abolitionist Hour, 7:20 p.m. Is there a better place to be than Kansas City on a Saturday night? The full moon. Last night was Friday the 13th. Things are happening all over the country. Can you feel it? The last time Trump tried to overturn Roe versus Wade, it took five cities, 200 people in five cities to stop Trump. We had 800 people just in one rally today in Kansas City. So we don't have the count on the rally in Kansas City, Kansas. And there's over 100 cities marching and rallying today. So if the effort here was to gin up the base and get people out to vote in early August, well, it worked. But are they expecting people to just roll up the tent and stop marching in August? I don't think so. So, Mike, what do you think about what's going on? We've got...
I think it's excuse me. It's a great thing that the Kansas City, Missouri people are calling for support for Kansas City, Kansas March and for to defeat the anti-choice amendment this August 2nd in Kansas with a no vote on the amendment, because it is. I don't think many people know that there are trigger laws, and if Roe v. Wade is it probably will be overturned. Kansas and Colorado do not have these trigger laws, which automatically outlaw abortion. Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska. All the states surrounding Kansas and Colorado have trigger laws, which when Roe v. Wade is overturned, which should be at the end of June or July, only Kansas and Colorado, if on August 2nd enough people come out in Kansas to vote no on the amendment, that abortion will still be legal, heavily restricted, but legal. In Kansas alone. So I think it's very commendable that the brothers and sisters across the state line in Missouri, including Planned Parenthood, are trying to activate people to vote no August 2nd, vote no in the primary election. That's incredible. That's really great. Where was this in Kansas City, Missouri, that you recorded this at today?
Okay, Carl. It was J.C. Sloan, J.C. Nichols, Horse Fountain, and Mill Creek Park.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that place. That's a great place to start.
yeah, it was remarkable. You know, that's all I can say, because there wasn't any friction, between factions. You know, it was like, oh, these are my speakers and these are my speakers. You know, it was different. Just in the whole response of the crowd, the engagement of the speakers with the crowd. And it was an uplifting mood. Kansas City was due. I mean, it's been 1918 since the last time we've had anything like this going with the first general strike. The first series of general strikes began in Kansas City, and so that was kind of brushed over. But we. You know, there at the end, we had to do a little support. There was a pro-lifer they're making somebody cry, arguing with them. And so we showed up, about four or five of us, to give support. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, it's his free speech right to be here. And I said, dude, you got Sean Hannity. You got Tucker Carlson.
Right.
You know, I gotta pay for four Christian networks just to get internet. There's Trinity and all them. Our internet bill is paying for that stuff to be on cable. I told the cable company, you stop broadcasting Christian programming, and I'll buy a TV box and start watching TV, cable TV. But, you know, they're subsidizing our suffering. You know, they've had a free meal ticket for too long, and it's time. I mean, it got to the point, and maybe I was being crass, but I was saying, dude, there's a civil war. Oh, you want to start a civil war? I said, dude, you guys have already started a civil war. For 40 years, we've been getting slaughtered out here. Literally.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, so I was like, dude, crack a book. Read some biology. Read something else other than what you're getting on the internet. You know, there's a whole world out there. And so we tried to have a little fun with it. And then, of course, the woman that he made cry, she appreciated it. And she, you know, she was able to regroup. And it was fun. We spent about 30 minutes with the guy. And it's like, okay, you need some attention here. I mean, it's something that we have to engage these folks. And the younger, the better, because we can show them that they have the strength to walk away from the evangelical subculture. And I told him, I said, you should have marched with us. You should have been over there in the plaza where the people yelling out of cars and honking was as loud as the people marching. Now, you think that you have the numbers? Do you really think that? Because we've had one bigger march last May, a year ago May. But this one we call it the 1 mile track. You know, and so we go down from the park, and we go down to Pennsylvania, and then we head south to Brush Creek, and then we come along Brush Creek, and then we turn back at the tennis courts, and then go back to the park. So by the time I got to Broadway, on Brush Creek, I look down the street, and I can still see people marching on crossing at Broadway, two blocks away. That's how many people we had marching, and that's significant. I've heard during the Vietnam War, you know, Country Club Plaza, a march from Country Club Plaza all the way to Memorial Park. So, you know, there's some stories. Maybe we'll get somebody on and talk about some of the stories at Peace Park, and that's pretty wild. But this is different. This is a women's-led movement, and people have been vocal for decades. Why the middle class did not support the working class. This has been a for 30 years, this has been a big split. And we saw it in 68 where, you know, in Paris we had the students coming out in the streets, and in London we had the working class coming out in the streets. But we really didn't see the working class and the students working together, like we're seeing right now. So let's go to 414, Mike, and we'll keep this rally going. And so we're going to go back to Justice and her speakers. And hit it, Mike.
Man, listen to what the black guys are doing. We need a white guy work song.
And a lineman for the county. Mark the code, the mayor. Cutting in the sun for just one more blow. You fear I'm tapping in blue wire, but I see love wrapping through the vine. You riches or land, you fill up on the line. Got them shame, there ain't no it's no, I know the garden plane won't stand the strain. But I need you, need you, need you, won't you? Won't you plant you as all mine?
Right? Yeah. I forget that, right? Free will and all. Yeah.
Come on, Amisa. Who has a lighter? Somebody come bring us a lighter. I know somebody's smoking. You got to. I know. I had to smoke a joint. Y'all got it at your house right now. Ask them EJ later why. Ask her, ask them why later. I'm sorry. See, I'll be messing up too. Ask X, Y later.
Ooh. You're trying to kill me. See, they're opposing forces. See, we down here on the plaza. The white people mad. They're like, you don't
want to
like that down here, but I do.
Uh-oh. Don't make our siblings mad.
But I do.
Ooh,
that don't work.
Oh. Smudge me. Because, you know, the forces, y'all. The forces have been coming after us. The forces have been coming after us, those of us who are unapologetic in our stance. They have. And this is becoming, it has already been a serious fight. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. It's becoming terrifying. When we sit and think about what's really at stake here. Are you ready, Seth?
I am ready. I am.
Let you take them.
So I'm not going to yell too much, but I really did mean that. If you're not indigenous, don't buy white sage. It's endangered. Our lands are endangered. Our people are, like, really suffering because y'all are really colonizing in a different way, and it's fucked up. So if you got it at home, give it away. Take it up to the Casey Indian Center and say, this is a gift. I'm sorry. Straight out.
Oh, we believe in telling the truth. Y'all gonna hear truth from us.
Yeah.
Much with incense.
And for real, why are we on this topic? White people, y'all come from amazing lineages, okay? It's okay to be Scottish and it's okay to be Irish. Y'all got some dope-ass spiritualities that y'all are running from in order to come and colonize our shit. Go learn about the fucking Vikings beyond the fact that y'all think that they had dreads. Please.
Just a disclaimer for those who thought they were coming to a respectable rally. We don't know how to do that.
I don't know that shit.
So for the media who's out, you're damn sure going to have to edit.
Yeah, I don't know that shit. I am going to lead us all in some cute little affirmations. I actually wrote these for our sister Justice.
Yeah.
And, because she is a leader in the fight, they are also going to be for you. I acknowledge that I am human. Repeat.
I acknowledge that I am human.
I let go of any guilt that I may have towards myself.
I let go of any guilt that I may have towards myself.
I am a powerful agent of change. I am protected.
I am protected.
My past is protected.
My past is protected.
My future is protected.
My future is protected.
Those I love in life and spirit are protected.
Those I love in life and spirit are protected.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. Woo! All right, Amijay is willing to stage people off to the stage. And we're ready to turn this motherfucker up. Why? Why? Because
because they've been plotting, and they've been planning, and they've been scheming against us for a long time, and it got leaked. So we know what's coming. We know what's coming. We know what's coming. Okay? We know what's coming. So we have to stand together right now, and we have to fight. I want to bring some people to the stage. I want you to hear from them. Let's see. Jen, are you ready, Jen? If Jen's not ready, Vanessa. Oh, Jen's coming. I know Jen ready. Do you want this? Y'all don't know, we've been in a fight. You got to. Y'all, hello. Thank you for being here today. Give yourselves a round of applause, please. Cheer even louder for your organizers. I'm Paula Jen Harris, and I can't believe I have to do this shit again. Yes. You know, I'm fucking tired. I know you're fucking tired. We're all tired, but we're going to keep fighting. I wrote this piece a few years ago. I've been performing it about a decade now, which it breaks my heart. You know, how long do you have to work? How hard do you have to work just to have basic equal fucking rights? You know? So this is that piece. This is my speaking to that. And feel free to cheer. Feel free to yell. Feel free to rage, mosh pit away from other people. You know what I mean? Come a little closer to me. I can take it. Dear siblings, as we march in these streets, ignited by passion to claim what has always been ours, beware. They will continue to take from us until we take back. We have the right to choose everything. And yet no one can explain to me why 100 years ago we achieved the vote, and yet they're still saying they gave it to us. Under no uncertain terms, know that our autonomies have been stolen from us. They are ours to claim, and they were no one else's in the first place. There are forces at play that want us silent and contained, taking up as little space as possible. This is how threats are handled. Identify, isolate, eliminate. Our existence is not a threat. Our sovereignty is not a threat. I know you're scared. You have every right to be. Our foremothers, with their fury and their fight, their struggles and their failures would be laid before us so clearly if it were not for the genocide of history to keep us starting over every moment of every day. Abolished, erased, silenced by violence, violated, we are forced to search and scour for truth, forced to decide if we are being lied to while lying in bed at night. No one will give us permission to be radical. No one will make it easy. To be a woman in this world is to accept that we will always be raising the consciousness of humanity. Dear siblings, anyone who tells you that you have to hate men in order to be a proper feminist is a liar. There is no need to make enemies of potential allies. Feminism is the forefront, forerunner in the fight for equality among all human beings. The system has been designed to erase us, fracture our intention, diminish our impact. Yes, me too. Yes, not all men, but yes, all women experience the noose of expected subservience. Yes, all men have a responsibility to surrender their willingness to sit idly by. Dear siblings, we are not obligated to the obedience demanded by our oppression. We are not indebted to our oppressors for making room at the table. Throw out your elbows. Take no prisoners. Make no apologies. Spread out. Take up space.
right back. Thank you all so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, chant. The chant is, take your space. Okay? On the count of three. Take your space. 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 Woo! Thank you. Yes. Yes. Take your space. Use it up. Get in there. We always try to make ourselves small to not get in the way. Fuck that shit. Take all your space. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. You got big hips? Let them make room for your space. Fuck that shit. Take all of your space. Woo. All right.
Building of a defense against enemy agents within our borders. Agents who once again threatened, they did in 1917.
Let's get it all around. They call it.
We're back. The Abolitionist Hour. Radio Free Kansas. We got a women's movement coming over the barricades. It's 7:52 p.m. And I think we should just go right into the next one, unless Mike, do you have any comments on the last section?
I really thought it was on time that they were talking about the section about not hating men, that this movement is inclusive about recruiting. In the 1990s, when the reactionaries were shotgunning and doctors and shooting them in the back with pistols and holding prayer vigils right before they detonated bombs that blew up clinics, and the over 800 arsonist attacks that occurred on women's clinics throughout this country in the 1990s. I always was I got to thinking about how many times I escorted people into the clinics and how many times men came with the women and went into the clinics. And it was over many, now sometimes it was grandfathers and fathers, but it was always you could tell the response, the men that were felt solidarity with the women, and they would come in with them. Sometimes it was just good friends that would come with the patients into the clinic. And I'm really impressed that the rally made a point of not trying to turn it into a hate men rally. And I appreciate that. What is this next clip? We have another clip from this march. What's it about? Can you remember?
Okay, yeah, we've got a few more speakers coming on, and so Ash or Asante is from the Poor People's Campaign and Real Justice Network, and so yeah, this clip is, you know, will not disappoint you or anybody in our audience. And this was 4:15, so go ahead and hit it, Mike.
Today is Judgment Day and the end of the world.
I got fired from the factory on December 24. I give them all I had to live, suckers said they wanted more. So I stole myself a shotgun, something to settle up the score. Now I've been in Montana prison for some 20 years for sure. Well, I worked as on the light mines till my lungs is black as night, while my woman raised the children of a family that was white. I had dropped right out of high school before I could learn to fight. And it's tough to break the man's rules when you're barking, got a bite. And it's hard to burn without no fuse, hard to dance without no shoes. Rockefeller, Howard Hughes, got them dirty dollar blues again. Took a job out in Missoula, dug y'all Grace and Company, on the wrong side of the rulers for chopping down the biggest tree. So they sent me to the jailers, 'cause I wouldn't cop a plea. If their system hadn't failed us, wouldn't have been no killing spree. I was just another worker, earning honest day of pay. And I never was no shirker, though that's what the bosses say. But they brought me up on charges for refusing to obey. I was caught between the margins, trying to keep them straight at bay. But it's hard to fuck without no screws, hard to heal without no bruise. J.P. Morgan, Mazaloos, got them dirty dollar blues again. Factory grinding, dying in the mines, overtime, a nickel cost a dime. Reassign the right of
all the rhyme. Monkey shining, cruelest to the kind. Unrefined, the sound, the dotted line. Blind, I'm blind, and no child left behind. Do the crime while you still in your prime. Wine and dine, if only in your mind. Still, it's all just doing time. Living on the road, and my boss said it don't suit ya. Trying to get what you load. Just be glad if we don't boot ya, like some ghost of old Tom Joad. So I said was nice to meet ya, and began to lock and load. Was a dare I be for Christmas, when they showed me to the door. Four men said this is a business, not some thrift store for the poor. Beg for some forgiveness, like some cut-rate corporate door. On that day that leaves for Christmas, left them on the killing floor. Cause it's hard to pay without no dues, hard to drink without no booze. Henry Ford and Nicholas too, got them dirty dollar blues again. Dirty dollar blues.
Ashanti Spears, core organizer with my team, so you know she dope, World Justice Network. Come on up, Ash. And organizer with the Poor People's Campaign. Yes, come on up.
My name is Ashanti Spears. You are free to call me Ash. I am glad to stand here as an organizer that is fully in alignment with Women's March and Planned Parenthood. Woo! I was on a conference call the other day, and Dr. Barber, who is one of my bosses and the co-chairs of the Poor People's Campaign, said that who knew that this June, the Women's March and the Planned Parenthood would be in full alignment with the Poor People's Campaign in Washington, D.C. on June 18th of 2022. It's a Christian-led movement, and something that surprises me about it is the fusion politics and the coalition that we're building of all kinds of folks around the country. And it's a statistic that I'm a part of, right? Does anyone know how many people in this country are low income or low wealth?
Too many.
43%.
That ain't right.
140 million Americans are low wage workers or in poverty. Is that right?
No.
What do they want to do with this overturn of Roe v. Wade? They want to see more people in poverty. Are we going to let that happen? So there's something that we like to say in the Poor People's Campaign, and when you hear this chant, you know that you are dealing with the Poor People's Campaign. So when I said forward together, you'll say not one step back, because this is trying to take us back, right?
Yeah.
The Poor People's Campaign was originally launched in 1968, and who would have thought we'd be doing this shit in D.C. this summer in June? Are y'all tired? Because I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
All right. When I say forward together, you say not one step back. Forward together! Forward together! Forward together!
Mic check. We back on this one. All right. There are a lot of reasons to be out here today, but my biggest one is standing right by me. many of you, you have family members. You have nieces. You have nephews. You have siblings. You have nibblings. You have birthing people in your family who you care about. You want to make sure that they have access to quality health care, because abortion is quality health care. It is health care. And we need to have access to health care. They try to make us feel ashamed for saying abortion. I'm not abortion. And if you need one, you should be able to get one. And guess whose business it is? No fucking body. It's not. Isn't it interesting that the folks who rail the most about governmental overreach all up in your panties? Yeah, we got to start acting real raunchy, because that's how they do us. They need to hear it a different way. Get your hands out, my drones! Yeah! Government! Damn! I want to introduce my daughter, Beyond Gadsden. She wrote something to say today. Please give her a round of applause. My name is Beyond Gadsden. I'm 17 years old.
Yeah!
I'm a herbalist and aspiring artist, and I serve as the lead youth organizer of Real Just Network. And y'all know why I'm here to talk about today. I'm here to talk about Roe v. Wade overturn and how it will affect young people like myself. The young people that will need safe access and the right to an abortion will be forced to carry a baby to full term. Having to take care of a child at a young age can have emotional, physical, mental, and financial tolls on young people that are not ready to have children. One of the challenges that they will face is having a harder time pursuing an education while taking care of a child. Some young people may not be able to continue their education because they'll need to get a job, but without an education or a skill or a trade, this can lead young people to being stuck in a low-wage job where they are unable to meet all their needs, let alone take care of a child. If young people are forced to live paycheck to paycheck, if their rents or living costs goes up, they could be forced into hunger and then into homelessness, which results in these young people having no means to take care of both themselves and the child. When young people and children are left in the streets hungry, homeless, with no health care, they will be exposed to environments that will stunt their growth or cause them to be infected with diseases that could raise their chances of death at an early age. Having been put into desperate situations, they may commit low crimes such as stealing to feed themselves and their families. And we all know committing these crimes will put the parent or child in a situation of being arrested. If a parent is not there to help protect their children will be put in jail. Children who are poor and with no food or education won't be able to have the most fulfilling life that they deserve. Yeah. Yeah. Sister Song, who coined this term, reproductive justice, defines it as the human right to maintain personal bodily autonomy, have children, not have children, and parent the children in a safe and sustainable community. Without fighting for reproductive justice, young people would not be able to have the opportunity to better themselves or their future families if they choose so. Please continue to stand for young birthing people and fight for advance on our bodies. We're going to try it out. So the first part,
yeah. Okay. So the first part is you say, stop the band. And some of you say, catch these hands. So, on the count of three, stop the band. One, two, three.
Stop the band!
We're back. The Abolitionist Hour. It's 8:11 p.m. And that wraps up what we have for the Women's March today in Kansas City. And I think we have a caller. Joe Wobb is going to call. And you were there today. And did you feel a different vibe about this rally from the others that you've worked?
Yeah, I think so. Kansas City isn't afraid of being too radical at this point. Yeah, and like I think that was a good comment at the beginning where you said there wasn't a lot of friction between different factions. It was a fairly unified front, and it, you know, everybody was pretty happy to be getting along and just doing stuff as kind of a unified front. And I don't know. I think the fact that there were no tankies kind of helped.
Yeah. There was a certain element. I don't know. You know, of course. You know, COVID. We've been out of, for the most part, the activist scene. But yeah. It definitely had a more positive, and there was more understanding between. You know, the east side of town, the west side of town, rich and
right.
poor, LGBT, straight, cis, hip, white, hetero from the suburb, but what I noticed was there were a lot of people checking out the what was going on, and you know they might have had their right, you know, their pro-life shirt. T-shirt and jump and hopping in for a sandwich or something, and
yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, there were some people along the periphery of where we were gathered, and aside from the couple of preachers that we interacted with, who you know felt it was their duty to. Go and save somebody or whatever. There really wasn't a lot of interaction with that kind of element.
Yeah, I saw, you know, I saw a few of the threeper types, or you know, kind of lurking around, and I saw some. Up towards Pennsylvania, but they were, for the most part, they were ducking into a shop or grabbing something to eat,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so some of the old folks that would stand alone across the street saying you're going to hell or something was not there. So
yeah,
so, you know, and so yeah, I mean, just the numbers, the support. Of the marchers, it wasn't the people eating on the sidewalks didn't seem disrupted at all.
We did disrupt traffic, which is you know, the plaza is a major financial economic hub of Kansas City, and when you're going to have a march, it's kind of the point to disrupt the flow of money. So you know that I think we did a pretty decent job of like slowing people down and making people pay attention, and you know, sorry if this ruins your lunch, but this is important.
Well, in this new economy, a lot of it is about slowing down.
Yeah.
And I think people have a hard time understanding that. Now, COVID made us slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And we got through it.
Yeah.
And a lot of – go ahead.
So I know that Dallas reportedly there were about 10,000 people down there, and I forget how many in Chicago, but it's pretty easy for Chicago to bring out at least 5,000 people. So, I mean, there were bigger marches than ours. Kansas City, I think we had a little over 1,000. But considering the size of the city, that's a pretty good turnout. And one other thing I wanted to mention was that while we were arguing with that baby-faced street preacher guy, at the exact time that we were, trying to keep him from bothering people, in Buffalo, 10 people were shot dead by a white supremacist, and one person was killed in a mass shooting in L.A.
Wow. Wow. And, I read a little bit on Twitter, mm-hmm. and the Buffalo shooter had a manifesto. Did you read anything about that? What is your
I read a few excerpts of it, and it's just fuck 'em is what I have to say to that.
Yeah, but it was straight off the 8chan bulletin board.
Yes. Yeah, it's very like copy and paste, and it's not. It's simultaneously batshit insane and completely run of the mill, which is that's an unsettling thought.
I was trying to explain to the preacher. It's like folks are getting slaughtered out here. They have been for 40 years.
Yeah, and I think the first track that you played was kind of poignant in thinking about that interaction. Which side are you on? Because like while you're here and you think that you're saving souls or some kind of bullshit like that, it's like dozens of people are getting killed all over the country by white supremacists who don't like the idea of people with uteruses being able to choose what they do with their bodies.
And of course, I've said this before, we should be issuing AR-15s to all women.
Yeah.
18 above.
Yeah, why not? I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody else has one.
Yeah.
Equal rights.
It was just, the weather was great. It felt a little hot because we're not used to, 85-degree weather. But, the park had a lot of shade. And I just saw a lot of cooperation and kindness, and I saw more men at this rally than any of the other women rallies that I've been to in Kansas City.
I hadn't noticed that. I didn't. It's just not something I noticed.
Yeah,
but that's interesting.
Yeah. So I think the engagement, I thought Ash gave a really good speech on this last round, when she was talking about the Poor People's Campaign and 140 million people in poverty. I mean, let's think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's like a third of the country.
A third of the country is So when I start seeing these shooters and stuff, and no matter how sane their manifesto is, it's like how has capitalism destroyed this person's life, where he came to the point that the only recourse is to go into a supermarket and kill people that never did anything to him.
Yeah, and he, in his mind, he's balancing a spreadsheet by doing that. Like his manifesto was something about, you know, it was this typical white genocide kind of crap. It's, you know, white people aren't having enough babies, and the immigrants are crossing the border. Okay, so you kill a bunch of people in a grocery store. What the fuck?
Well, this street preacher, I don't know. He maybe he was 22 years old at the oldest.
Yeah.
But some of the things that he touched on were things that that manifesto touched on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So yeah. So the idea that all this white supremacy attacks is not under the umbrella of Christian identity, it's convoluted. It is an absolute fact, and the convoluted thinking of their denial. Oh well, the guy in Los Angeles has nothing to do with my congregation. You know, the shooter in Buffalo, or Atlanta, or El Paso.
Yeah, and there's just these infinite layers of plausible deniability, and it's just it's the logic of, you know, a few bad apples in terms of police departments. Well, it's how many bad apples does it take for you to just finally say that all cops are bastards, and you know, Jesus does not in fact save.
Yeah, that's right. And full disclosure, Joe Wobb grew up in Topeka, Kansas. So
yeah, that's right. And you know, I saw people gather around these preachers trying to, you know, they kept trying to suck people into these so-called logical debates, or you know, meet me in the marketplace of ideas kind of just asinine crap. And it's like, I have dealt with, I went to school with these people. I have dealt with every shade and color of these kind of assholes, and you're not going to get anywhere. There is no argument to be had. They just need to either fix their hearts or die. You know, they need to pick a side of the fucking street.
Yeah, because, you know, a word that's been showing up a lot lately is malignant cancer, is what we're dealing with. And, I mean, we have to, you know, these people are pathologically insane. I mean, I'm just giving my own personal opinion. I can't give clinical advice. But
I
just want to throw this into Joe and you, Carl. You know, I'm an old man, but I remember when I was listening to this, I was wondering if Regina Dinwiddie was there today. She is the notorious, quote-unquote, self-described pro-lifer. She used to hang out at the clinics in Kansas City, Kansas, at the women's clinics in Kansas City, Kansas, and in Kansas City, Missouri. She's a very popular luminary among the reactionaries. She was photographed with Paul Hill. She had Paul Hill, the executioner, up at her home in North Kansas City. And then he promptly went down to Florida. This is years ago. Went down to Florida and used a 20-gauge Mossberg and blew the head off of the doctor coming into the clinic and killed the retired Air Force guy who drove him in, and damn near killed the registered nurse in the back seat. Paul Hill, crazy fucking reactionary. hang out with Regina Dinwiddie. I kept wondering, why? How does Regina get away with all this? She's in the newspapers. She's been photographed fucking murder, you know, cold-blooded murder, biblically sanctioned, according to Paul, a murder. How did she get away with it? Well, it took me a while to find out. She's married to a lieutenant in North Kansas City Police Department. And so she had ready access to a gun. She was, I mean, if you ever, she'll be back. She's, those kind of people, unfortunately, I think that's what people are going to have to, this is different. This isn't the 70s, 80s, or the 60s, this isn't the 90s even. That was during the late 1990s. I'm really concerned about these crazy bastards, well, the sick reactionary fascists, that may take a gun to the women and men who are protesting in the streets today. And I just think I want to put everybody's head, you know, give you a heads up. Regina Dinwiddie's one of those, and I'm surprised she was. She probably was there. But there's some crazy people out there right now, as you were pointing out, Joe. I'm sorry to interrupt you guys.
I mean. You know, that's the show of solidarity is what's going to get us through this.
Mm-hmm.
No one left behind. No, you know, we're just going to have to look out for each other. And be there for people. If you know somebody that's getting threats and stuff. We're just going to have to, you know, put that in our lives that we're going to, you know, be there, you know, and that they can count on us, because, you know, we need safe houses already.
Yeah.
And it's just now, Mike, talk about this, about all the abortion bombings in the 90s, and then.
From roughly 1991, 92, it became such a clusterfuck of violence around the women's clinics. Many women clinics didn't just provide, just like Planned Parenthood, they didn't just provide abortions. They provided all kinds of gynecological services and cancer exams they were really sort of general practice clinics. But suddenly, as the violence increased, so too did the movement of capitalism in terms of private, you know, suddenly the clinics were confined to doing just abortions. It made a more specific target for the religious reactionaries. And through that period of the 90s, there were over 800 incidents of arsons, shootings, bombings. Those are actual felons that were, you know, this wasn't just your usual blew the lock shut, which happened many times in Topeka, in Lawrence, in Kansas City, Kansas, that I know of, because I used to have to get the fucking locks replaced. This wasn't just gluing locks. These were actual, during that period of time, There were actual acts of violence. Emily, I'm trying to remember her name. I think it's Emily Anderson, was the nurse who was going up to a clinic and near Atlanta, Georgia, and the guy, the security guard, you know, he made the mistake of sticking his expandable baton into a potted plant. That was unusual, and it blew him to pieces. His torso landed in a bush. The rest of him was scattered all over the place. And Emily, the nurse, had most of her left leg blown off. And that was from a guy who later on, it took 5 years before the cops finally caught him. He's in Florence, Colorado, living a high hog in a maximum security prison there. His name is Eric Rudolph, and he, you know, just like Paul Hill came through Kansas City before he went to Florida and killed the doctor and almost damn near the nurse there in Pensacola, Florida. Eric Rudolph ran for years and years, and he bombed the Centennial Olympic bomb, later confessed to also blowing up a LGBTQ bar in Atlanta. This guy ran just crazy, and the notes he used to write were every bit as Christian as you could be. I mean, chapter and verse. He would write notes to his to the newspapers and to the police, and they would reprint them, and they were batshit crazy. So the violence of the 90s and the 2000s up to about 2004 was, pardon the pun, it was epidemic among these people. And I think really you're going to find these lone wolf crazy people attacking these marches up until it's overturned. But a lot of them, the more organized ones, the ones that are really dangerous, not that these people aren't, but the more organized ones are sitting back and they're going to let the Supreme Court, the mummies in black robes in the Supreme Court push this through. And then they figure they'll have not only the Bible on their side, but they'll have the law. And I, from what I read, I think Missouri is passing one of those huge, I call them fugitive slave women laws, I think. I think it has to do with, like Texas, where you get a bounty, you get a $10,000 bounty if you bring in a woman who is, if you help a woman, or if you know somebody that helped a woman get an abortion, or a doctor who did it, or a nurse that works at a clinic, you can get $10,000 if you turn them in Texas. And I heard there's something like that going to the Missouri State Legislature. It'll be very interesting to see how bloody they'll put this on women and make them so. It's very interesting. It's historical what's going on, and I think that's coming up.
There's no turning back on human rights. There's no ground to give.
No.
It's
very serious. Very, Joe, I just wanted to know, do you see it that way? I mean, you sound young, but, I mean, the Fred Phelps, the divisions between in Topeka, you said you came from Topeka. You know, the Fred Phelps
right.
gang and the Catholics didn't get along with each other, but yet they come out, they just sort of tag team the clinic that used to be in Topeka. I'm talking in the 1990s. There was a clinic there, and they would tag team because they couldn't stand each other on the picket line outside the property perimeter of the clinic. And I used to take pictures of them arguing with each other over basically how to do, you know, what to do, you know, to shut down the clinic, which they eventually did. We ended up having to shut it down. But I mean, do you recall divisions among these type people? Because there are some Christian women I know who would come to the clinic and get abortions, you know, and it was
sure.
It was not a big deal. You know what I mean, Joe? It's sort of interesting.
I was around for some of this fight, but not all of it. Not specifically between the Catholics and the Westboro Baptist Church, Fred Phelps, but as some people say, time is a flat circle. You know, all of these things just keep happening again and again, and the violence of the 90s is in some ways returning today, and the words of Phyllis Schlafly that you played last week don't exactly sound like they're from 1984, the year 1984. They definitely sound like the book 1984, but I mean, in short, we're in agreement. And this violence, recently as today, is often referred to as stochastic terrorism. Those are the lone wolf kind of shootings, and that's something that white supremacists tend to resort to after they try something over the top. Like, I think Timothy McVeigh in the Oklahoma City bombing was like way too over the top for the white supremacist crowd, and after that they got heat on them and started organizing in much quieter, low-key sort of ways, and not trying to bomb buildings, but just stab somebody on a train here and there. Yeah.
Well, they got a lot of support. I mean, there was a lot of support for that back then in the 90s and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy that used to use a deer rifle, he on doctors, he even had an anniversary, in terms of on a date. I can't remember what it was, November or something, 4th or some date. Every year he would take pot shots with a deer rifle and try to shoot doctors through these, they were all New York doctors, through the windows of their home. And he ended up in Ireland before they caught him. His name I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. But the point is that they had a lot of support. I mean, I think the reactionaries had much more support among them for their terrorist operatives. To me, I think it's sort of similar to the Weimar Republic in the 1920s and 30s in Germany. It's to me. Now, I'm sure I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I think it's this roaring. Go ahead.
I've got a clip. I happen to have a clip about the Weimar Republic.
Which one is it?
It's 410. It's Annie Jacobson.
Okay.
It's the first, the first five pages of the Operation Paperclip. And go ahead and hit that, Mike, and we'll.
It's a 32 minute clip. Do you want to just play some of it and phase it down or something?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to Underground AM Radio out of Little Rock. And we're going to join Carl G and Joe Wobb to finish out the show. Well, man, that's a great set. Okay. Who was that, Carl?
That was Leslie West.
Wow.
You remember? He was one of my favorites back in the KAAY Little Rock. You remember Stewart?
Yeah, Bleecker Street was what we used to listen to in 1970.
Yeah.
Underground.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Underground AM Radio.
This is Roots Radio.
Yeah, it is. All right, man. All right.
All right. Well, we didn't get to Annie Jacobson, but what we'll do is we will check back in on Annie Jacobson. Because she's got a lot to say about fascism.
Yeah, man, and these fucking fascists are, I mean, I can't believe it. I was sort of, Operation Paperclip, you can Google it. The book and everything. I mean, these goddamn fascists from Europe went all over the place, didn't they? I mean, 1,600, she documented hardcore, 1,600 fascists, mainly Germans, some Italians. Biological, chemical warfare specialists, missiles, missile specialists, made them U.S. citizens. You know, God bless America. You know, say the Pledge of Allegiance. You're in. God damn.
It's freaking science fiction. I mean, you can't believe
crazy.
This is happening. It's like, and nobody talked about this for 70 years?
Yeah.
And
it took a guy.
Except the hippies.
Yeah, well, people may not remember Bob Beyer. You've got a clip, I think, of him. Now, this guy's a CIA guy, so you got to sort of, you know, be careful. But, I mean, the guy was really upfront about the despicable invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. And he did a special. And they never found – it was called Hunting Hitler. It was on – trash TV. I mean, you didn't have to pay for it. You could watch it over the air. And I've been watching it, and screw finding Hitler. What he proved is that there were tens of thousands of fascists who went to South America, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina. I mean, and they had whole towns, whole communities, so-called communities of fascists living in Latin America. This is in the 40s and the 50s. I mean, that's some freaky shit, man.
They lived out their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're very well-resourced people, but there are more of us.
Oh, yeah. And we find them. We always hunt them down and find them, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Well, one more thing I wanted to bring up was I saw this clip from L.A. of a street preacher. I think the organization is called Official Preachers or something like that. I don't have the background for that. There was, you know, street preachers in L.A. just like there are here, and L.A. had a pretty good chant, a simple chant, to chase these guys out, and I think it would be a good idea to use here. They just chanted, "Shut the fuck up."
Right.
So I just want to say to people, because I remember that this guy was starting to act like he was a constitutional philosopher or something, and you don't have to engage with that. It's okay to tell these people to shut the fuck up.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, because it's not a free speech issue. When they come to our rally
and say, I'm just exercising my right to free speech. And it's like, no, you're just being an asshole.
Yeah. Yep. And something else about that clip, I can't find it right now, but that that street preacher ended up actually, while he was being chased out, sexually assaulted a woman. He like grabbed her boob while he was being walked out by the police, actually. So, I mean, it's just, you know, layers on layers.
Are you talking out in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
And we're gonna play that next week because I got his babbling.
Yeah, there are multiple interesting characters in LA today.
I know who you're
talking about, but yeah, the guy who admitted he went to White Lives Matter marches.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
I'm actually looking at his face right now, and I don't understand how somebody can have a haircut that stupid. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. He's got a dumber and dumber haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, the more you look at it, the dumber it gets.
Yeah, it's just, I'm looking at the shooter in Buffalo, and people are questioning the tattoos on the cop's neck, on the cop's forearms,
right.
And so we're going to see a little bit more about that cop and these cops that take these guys alive.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Why do white supremacist shooters get taken alive?
Mm-hmm.
So,
as they said in that Netflix movie that wasn't really that good, I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
Oh man, let's. We got to go wild on somebody. Let's go wild on somebody.
I want a T-Bone Sims song. Play go wild, simply wild over me. Although I've never done them harm that I can see. I'm as gentle as a lamb, but they take me for a ram. They go wild, simply wild over me. Oh, the cop, he went wild over me. And he held his gun where everyone could see. He was breathing rather hard when he saw my union card. He went wild, simply wild over me. Then the judge, he went wild over me. And I plainly saw we never could agree. So I let the man obey what his conscience had to say. He went wild, simply wild over me. Then the jailer, he went wild over me. When he locked me up and threw away the key. Oh, it seemed to be the rage to keep me in a cage. He went wild, simply wild over me. Now they go wild, simply wild over me. I'm referring to the bed bug and the flea. Oh, they murmur in my sleep. They disturb my slumber deep. They go wild, simply wild over me. Will the roses grow wild over me when I've gone into the land that is to be? When my soul and body part in the stillness of my heart, will the roses grow wild over me? Well, and God, he went wild over me. When I knelt beside the throne on bended knee. When the angels heard me yell, they shot me down to hell. But they went wild, simply wild.